It is good to be here tonight with you to bring you God's Word. Would you please stand as we open up the Word tonight? We're going to be in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 1 and 3. The title of tonight's message is Returning to the Word. Brother Rich said this is also called the Watergate Revival, and I like that also. But Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and all those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And so this is a great moment for the people of Israel, and a moment that sparked revival in God's people. And like most great revivals, and even revivals in our own personal life, there were some hardships and trials that were faced by God's people prior to this moment. And it would lead them to this moment, a moment when they would once again turn towards God. Something that I've said before, and there's a big revival sign from an old church, and it's in my office, and some of you have seen it if you've been in my office. But revival starts with me, and revival starts with you. And if we want to see this great revival in our country, we want to see this great revival in this church body here, it starts with us. And we would see this fold out in here in this scripture. We see these defining moments in Scripture and defining moments in our own lives that show the true character of hearts and the genuineness of faith. There was a man named Nehemiah who would be called to service. He would be divinely led into a position to restore not only the walls of Jerusalem, but the faith of the people of Israel. And what a great reminder for us to not neglect whatever God has called us to, the calling on our lives. That we are to be faithful to what God has called us to, and we are to act upon what God has called us to. We find Nehemiah in Persia as the cupbearer to the king. And he's some 900 miles away from the holy city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah crosses paths with some of the Hebrew brethren. And he asks a very important question: how is Jerusalem? But he not only asked about the city, but he also asked about the Jews who lived there. You know, I believe that Nehemiah might have been a country boy. It was as if he was asking, "How's your mama and them?" And they would have given, they would give Nehemiah the news that would trouble him greatly. We've all heard of bad news and even some bad news about things that take place close to home. And we would even say, "Man, that hits close to home." And so for Nehemiah, this hit close to home for him. This was the case for him. Even though he'd never been to Jerusalem before, it was a city that had been promised to God's people. It was very near and dear to their hearts. They thought about Jerusalem, or should have thought about Jerusalem often. Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, 1 through 4 says, "It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.'" And in verse 4 it says, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Nehemiah was greatly concerned for the Jews and for Jerusalem. He learns that the walls are broken down, that the gates are burned, rendering Jerusalem defenseless. The people are in trouble. And this news was heavy for Nehemiah to bear. It was a heavy burden for him to bear when he hears it. And he sat down and he cried and would mourn for days. Nehemiah experienced a type of news that stops you in your tracks and brings you to the ground. He sat down and cried. And maybe you remember a moment in your life where you received some bad news, or a news was brought to you, and it brought you to your knees. It brought you to a moment where you just sit down If you ever are at a hospital, or if you're walking just through Walmart or anywhere, and you see somebody sitting on the ground crying, they probably just received some very bad news. Well, they can't even go anymore. Just fall down to the ground. And so this is where Nehemiah was. His heart was broke. What do we do? What do you do when you hear bad news? Nehemiah prayed to God. In Nehemiah 1:5, it says, "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I had chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. This day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." And Nehemiah would say, "For I was the king's cupbearer." And so Nehemiah went to praying. In this prayer, he announced who he was praying to. There was no doubt about that. We can see very clearly who Nehemiah was praying to. He was praying to the God of heaven, the one, the true God of Israel. And he was praying about the children of Israel. And he was praying about their sin. And he was praying and confessing about how they have forgotten about God, how they have forgotten God's commandments and God's ordinances. He prayed that God would remember what he told Moses about the land that he promised them. He's bringing to remembrance what God had said. And we know that God will never back down on his promises. And Nehemiah knows that. He's reminding God that. But he also prayed that God would hear his prayer and pay attention to him and give him what he was asking for. Nehemiah was in the throne there before God, and he was asking God, "God, remember your people. God, hear my prayer. Listen to me, God." Nehemiah's heart was in the right place. It was towards God. He was faithful, and he was trying to be as faithful as he could, even in his prayers. When I read this prayer, I'm reminded that we have a God that is not far away. We have a God that is near. A God that hears our prayer, a God that hears our petitions, a God that hears our wants and our asks and our desires. We can approach the throne room of God with confidence, knowing that he will hear us as his children. Hebrews 4 reminds us of this. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Nehemiah was definitely in a time of need. It was deep. It had cut deep within him, the news that he heard about Jerusalem and his people. Nehemiah would then tell the king, in which he was the cupbearer for, about the issue that his homeland faced. It says in Nehemiah chapter 2, "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year, King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart.' So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?' And in verse 4 it says, 'Then the king said to me, What do you request?' And so I prayed to the God of heaven." There we see Nehemiah praying again. "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.' King Artaxerxes would not only grant Nehemiah leave from his position, but he would also give him what he needed to build back the temple. God was for Nehemiah. We see this in scripture over and over again, that God was for what Nehemiah sought to do. God had led him to this, and he was the king's cupbearer. This isn't the main focus of our text tonight, but the king Artaxerxes asked him, "Why are you sad?" This would have been a great thing for the king's cupbearer to be sad, because the king's cupbearer would drink whatever, or taste whatever was before the king. And if Nehemiah passed out or if he died, they wouldn't give it to the king. And so here you have Nehemiah, and he is greatly sad. He's distressed. It has been months since he heard of this news. And he's been fasting, he's been praying, he's been mourning, and here he is before the king doing his everyday task. And the king asked him, "Why is your face sad since you are not sick?" And he said, the king said, "This is nothing but sorrow of heart." And he became dreadfully afraid. But Nehemiah did not hesitate to tell the king what was going on. He told the king about his father's homeland, about Jerusalem. And King Artaxerxes would not only grant Nehemiah this leave, but he would give him what he needed, the materials. And in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me." This is Nehemiah's testimony. The king granted them to me according to the good hand of the God upon me. God's hand would guide Nehemiah to the city of Jerusalem. And there he'd find the city just as his brethren had said. The walls were broken down. The gates were destroyed by fire. The city was in shambles. Nehemiah would not waste any time and would go very quickly to work. But first, he had to tell everyone the reason for his arrival. And he didn't do this right off the bat. Nehemiah would survey the city at night, going around and looking at the city walls and looking at the city gates. And you could almost imagine he's making note of what all needs to be done. If a big project is coming up, we would all do the same. We would look what all it would cost, what it's going to take, how many people it's going to take, how long it's going to take. And so Nehemiah lets the people know in chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, a great charge, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.'" And I love what it says next. It says, "Then they set their hands to this good work." They had a job to do. Nehemiah was testifying to his people whenever he was reminding them or telling them what the king had done. And what God had done, he was pointing straight to God. And he was saying, it's God that led me here. God had his hand upon me. And it was almost this encouraging moment for the people. He said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. And this is exactly what they did. They rose up together and built back the wall that surrounded Jerusalem in 52 days. And this just goes to show that when God's people come together and they're seeking after God's will, nothing can stand in the way. There were many hardships that they faced in those 52 days. There were many struggles. They had to at one time fight or hold a sword and build the wall at the same time. A great picture. But God was with them the whole time. God was there guiding Nehemiah and his leadership. God was there and he saw the job completed. And can you imagine just the breath that they got to breathe, the moment that they laid the last brick, the moment that they stood up the last gate, the moment that everything from the wall was put back into place. In Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 66, it says, "Altogether the whole assembly was 42,360, a great number of people." And also says that, so the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. There was no doubt that God had showed up for the people of Israel. Nehemiah's conviction over Jerusalem and the people of Israel did not end with just a thought, but was motivated to action. Nehemiah was convicted that he had to do something. He could not take it when he heard this great news that the city of David, Jerusalem, was laid in waste. He had to act. And in this defining moment, the people of Israel would once again return to hear from God. And so we see this first, the desire for the word of God. And we see this in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. From this text, we must first notice that they were gathered as one. This great number of people were gathered as one. And they came with one desire, to hear from God's word. They had built the wall together as one. Yes, they faced some things along the way, some hardships, some struggles. But now there was unity. And at this moment, they were all headed in the same direction towards God's word. What a great place for the people of God to be headed in the same direction towards God's word. These folks, they didn't have the Bible app or an accessible copy of God's word like we do today. And so they told Ezra, commanded Ezra, bring out the book of the law of the Moses. You could almost say, get the book. This whole great number of crowd, you can just imagine that they're commanding this, they're asking this, get the book. I don't know if they started to chant it, maybe they did. And Ezra goes and gets the book. The wall was completed. And we can imagine they had a what do we do now moment. I know. Let's see what God's word has to say. I bet we can find what to do in there. They were compelled to listen to the word of God once again. If we would just turn towards God's word with this type of desire, a burning desire, we may share in some of the same responses that the people of Israel did in this moment. A great revival broke out. They were looking towards God's word, and they were wanting to build their lives upon God's word. They were wanting to do this together. There are many things in this world that are desirable. Food, money, fame, power, passions, and even sins or lust. When we would desire these types of things, such as food, we eat until we're full. Before long, we're hungry again. Food is consumed and goes away, and yet we hunger for it every day. If I go without food, it's going to start to show. If I go without God's word, and a desire for God's word, it's going to start to show in my everyday life. My prayer is that we may hunger for the word of God. The word of God that has no end. The word of God that lasts forever. God said, I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Job would say in Job 23, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. God's word had become food for Job. And he said, I have treasured it more than food. Isaiah would say, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Secondly, we see the diligence towards God's word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women. They're demanding for it. And so Ezra brings in the law. And all who could hear it with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. Before the men and the women and all those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The word has been brought out and read for all the people to hear. All the people are focusing on what is being said in this moment. They're focusing on God's word. You know, it's one thing to think about doing something, but it's another thing to do what you were thinking about. We know this all too well. You know, we think about a chore, or we see the trash can starting to pile up, and we say, I need to take that out. And we walk right by it, and we get distracted. In our house, maybe we're picking up babies, and you get distracted by things. And you set out to do something, but you didn't complete it. If we don't do things right then and there, they'll most likely be neglected. Most likely won't get done. God's people in this moment, they did not neglect the word of God. They set their attention towards it from morning until midday. But that's not all they did. They did it all while standing up, while the word of God was being read by Ezra. Ezra was elevated on a wooden platform so that everyone could hear what was being said. It says in Nehemiah 8, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And there was these guys there beside him. And in verse 5 it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. A direct response to the reading of God's word. They felt that they should stand up in reverence of God's word and listen to God's word. And in verse 6 it said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Well, what an awesome thing to have witnessed. What an awesome thing to have been there. These great multitude of people stand up in reverence to God's word. And Ezra, the man behind or on top of the platform, the man who has the book, the man who has the word, blesses the Lord. I can't imagine being him in that moment as all these people are before him and they're hungry for God's word. They're hungry to hear from God's word. And Ezra's response is to praise God. A spark was there. And in the moment that Ezra reads from the scriptures, a fire was started. This is what they had been missing for so long. And I can tell you the word of God is what's needed in our lives also. They were so diligent in teaching the word in this moment that at some point there were men going around explaining what was being talked about. It says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. This wasn't just a passive audience. These people were wanting to know what was being talked about. They were wanting to know what the word meant. Can you come tell me what that means? I need somebody to explain that to me. And you see this moment to where they're going around, they're explaining to people what's being said. They have made it a point to take time to allow others to ask questions and for answers to be given. Remember, they came together as one, and we see how they are truly functioning as one, asking and receiving. You know, we may not stand the whole time or every time the word is open, and some may say amen, but we could. We may not be in service for hours on hours on hours, but we could. The desire of our heart should be to hear from the word of God. And when we hear it, we're diligent in our attention to it. We're paying attention. God, what would you have to say to me from your word? God, my hands are open. I am willing to receive what you would have to say to me. God, I am listening. My ears are attentive to what you would have to say to me. This is the moment that they were in. We do not want to be people who just listen to the word, but a people that build our lives upon the word. Christ is our foundation. The word is the truth that we build upon that foundation with. We give it our attention. We live by it. We seek it. We pray it. We make sure others know about it. And then the last aspect we will look at is the decisions because of the word. The first immediate response that we see the people do is just some good old amening. And while they're amening, they're lifting up their hands and worshiping God with their faces to the ground. When you're in this position, when you're preaching to people, when you're giving them God's word, and this morning I heard a bunch of amens and I was excited about it. But just amens. And they answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. A humble attitude towards God in the form of worship. In agreement with the word of God. God's word had led them to action. And it should lead us to action also. Our hearts should burn within us and not be cold towards the word. Just sitting, passive, not willing to move, not willing to receive. But taking in God's word and applying it to our lives. Never being the same because we've heard a message from God. Willing and ready to receive whatever he may want to tell us through his word. We also see that they wept in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Their sins have been brought to their attention through the reading of the word, and it caused them to mourn over the way that they've been living. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and these people had experienced that sharp sword. And I hope that sometime in your life that you can say, there was a moment that I was sitting under the preaching of God's word, and I was moved, and I was convicted, and I knew that I couldn't live the same, and I knew that my life had to change. And maybe even you wept and you mourned. Romans 3:19 says, obviously the law applies to those whom it was given for, or who it was given for. Its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. And they were in this moment where they realized their sin. They had been living for a long time without the word of God or in being attentive to the word of God. And in this moment, they were convicted. And they knew that they had to change. They knew their life couldn't stay the same. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus changes everything. And Jesus can change my life. He can change your life. Every day, he saves us and he makes us new. But we're continually living in this flesh, continually living in this flesh that is ridden with sin. And every once in a while, God's word will get a hold of us and we'll have to be in this position where we're weeping, or it'll be lead us to this position where we're weeping because of our sin. Because we know that we've strayed from God. That's what they knew. They knew that they'd strayed from God and it broke their heart. They were broken. Nehemiah was broken way back when he was in Persia. The revival had already happened with Nehemiah, and now that God was taking the revival to the rest of the people of Israel. Revival starts with me. Revival starts with you. And we share with others what God has done. We share with others just how God has moved in our lives. We share with others maybe the sin that we were living in, how we repented of that sin, and how we're never going back to that, and how God has changed everything. But I love what they say. He says, Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. There's grace written all over that. Do not weep. And they would even tell them to go out and eat and drink and be joyous. And then in Nehemiah 8:13, it says that we see that they celebrated. Now on the second day of the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one of the roof of his house, or in the courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. And so the reading of the law, they had looked at it, they had been convicted by it, and they saw something that they needed to do. The law had motivated them to move. The law had motivated them to action. They went out and they were cutting tree branches. And you can almost hear the sound of it. Like these great multitude of people are going to the hillsides and they're cutting the tree branches so they can do what God told them to do. There was a great commotion. And if you didn't know what was going on, you would very soon learn what was going on. You would see these tree branches coming in to the city. And you would see people making these booths here. They were preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles, this great celebration by the people that God had commanded them to do. And this would be a week of joy and celebrating for the Jewish people. There was no doubt that they acted upon God's word. They were convicted by it. They were moved by it. And they made a decision. And in verse Nehemiah 9, we see that they repented. Now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confess their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. This great moment, a heartfelt moment for the, between the people of Israel and God. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of their God for one-fourth of the day. And for another one-fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And when I read this, I'm convicted. You know, how often do we read from God's word for one-fourth of the day? How often do we spend another one-fourth of the day in prayer on our hands and knees and face to the ground confessing our sins and worshiping God? The people of Israel, they were moved mightily. They were completely changed for just a little while within this moment. They were worshiping God, is what we see in verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 4. It says, they stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to their God. And then it says, stand up. And they said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And then they would sing a psalm. They would sing a hymn, a praise to God. A natural response when we're put in our place. When we know that we are nothing. That God is everything. That He is to be worshipped. When we know that we've repented and or that we've sinned and we've gone far from God and we repent and we turn towards God and we find them, you know, in sackcloth with fasting and dust on their heads, and then they worshiped. A response to God. Each and every one of us are to cling to God's word. We're to look to God's word and have that desire just as the people of Israel did in this moment. A desire to hear from God's word, but not only hear from God's word, but a desire for God's word to change our lives every day. To change our lives one verse at a time, one passage at a time, one sermon at a time. We're willing and receptive to hear from Him. And whenever we hear from God's word, just as the people were moved, we should also be moved. We should also make a decision. Just one decision or multiple decisions because we've encountered the living God. I don't know how this message applies to you, but I hope tonight that you can say that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, that there was a moment in your life where you called upon Him to save you. And if you have, can I beg you, can I urge you, can I plead with you, cling to His word, look to His word, and His word brings revival. Would you pray with me?